Welcome to installment 104 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, positive commandment 148, that of Shiluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird before one takes the chicks or eggs from her nest. The commandment of chasing away the mother bird of Shiluach HaKan is derived from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 7. In verse 6, as we discussed yesterday, there is a prohibition that if one comes across a bird's nest on any tree or on the ground, and it contains baby birds or eggs, then if the mother is sitting on the chicks or eggs, one must not take the mother along with the babies. This is verse 6, the prohibition number 306, as we discussed yesterday. Today's commandment is from the following verse, and this is a positive commandment. One must first chase away the mother, says the verse, and only then may you take the young. This is in fact a positive commandment. One must chase away the mother, and upon doing that, then take the young. The verse in fact stresses this responsibility to send away the mother. It repeats it with two words, Shaleach teshalach etzaim. One must certainly send away the mother. Maimonides explains in his legal code that this means that even should the mother return to the nest, one must go and send away the mother a second time. Should it still return, one must send her away physically a third time, and so on, to continue to send her away so that she should not return to the nest. In general, it is considered by many of the commentaries that this sending away of the mother is a merciful act. However, the Talmud in the Masechta Brachos explains that it is not proper to treat this mitzvah as it is merely based on the reason of mercy. The Talmud states that someone who states in prayer that the merciful one, just as how you have had mercy on the Kan Sipur, on the mother who was sitting on her nest, so too you should have mercy on us. And the Talmud states, Meshafkin, I say, one should silence this person. This is not a proper prayer. The reason given in the Gemara is that such a person is making the commandments of Hashem as if they are only merciful acts. They are not merciful acts, says the Talmud. They are gzeres. Eina el gzeres, says the Talmud. That they are decrees, that the essence is higher than reason. This is not to mean that the effect of the mitzvah is having a merciful act and having a merciful effect on this mother bird. It is rather to indicate that the essence of the mitzvah is not reason, that the real reason behind it is higher than our understanding, that it is something which is revealed only to God Himself, and higher than human reason. There are, however, commentaries who explain this passage in the Talmud that really it would be proper to treat the commandments in general as if they are merciful and as if they have reason. What is the Talmud upset about? That this person mentioned it in prayer. That it is not proper to mention such a thing in prayer. However, the general concept is a proper one, say some of the commentaries. In Tikkuni Zohar, however, another line of thought altogether is presented. This driving the mother away from the nest is not a merciful act. Really, it's the opposite of a merciful act, says the Zohar. In fact, the mother is terribly upset over being upset about being divided and separated from her children. And the mother bird flies restlessly over the earth, and it cries bitterly, and it feels terrible that it has been separated from her children. Upon this happening, the angel representing this bird comes before the Holy One, blessed be He, and says, "You, God, are so compassionate. Why have you made such a commandment?" So to all of the other angels, representing the other species of birds, also complain to Hashem, and complain, why should it be that the bird should suffer so and be separated from the children? And God answers them. God claims in return, "You have such mercy on all of these birds. Why then do you not have mercy on my Shekhinah, on my divine presence, and on my children?" God answers, says the Zayar, that the Shekhinah is also like a mother bird, and it's also supposed to be together with its children, who are the Jewish people, in its nest, which is the temple in Jerusalem. Because of certain unavoidable circumstances, it has been the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, has been forced away from its nest, has been forced away from its children. If you have such mercy on the mother, why, says God, do you not have mercy on my Shekhinah? Why do you not pray and demand that my Divine Presence not be returned to the Beis HaMikdash and returned to my children? Therefore, through sending away the mother bird, this starts off a chain of events in the heaven, evoking mercy in the heavens for the plight of the Jewish people, and encouraging the return of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence of the Temple, and the coming of Mashiach. The commandment to send away the mother bird is one of the few commandments in the Torah which has its reward written right next to it. At the end of this same verse 7, the verse concludes that after one has sent away the mother bird, that you will have it good and you will live a long life. The Talmud in the Tractate Kiddushin relates an interesting story relating to this point, which has great indications and great significance for the general concept of reward and punishment in the entire Torah. In this passage, a father asks his son to go up to a tree and retrieve some eggs which were on top of the tree. Of course, to do so, he must chase away the mother and then bring the eggs back to the father. The son does so, obeying his father, and thereby fulfilling the commandment of honoring his father. He climbs up the tree and chases away the mother, and therefore satisfies the commandment of sending away the mother bird. By both of these commandments, it is stated explicitly in the Torah that one will live a long life. However, after fulfilling both of these commandments, the boy fell from the tree and died. Where, says the Talmud, where is this idea of living a long life? The Torah promises that one will live a long life upon the performance of either one of these two commandments. Both commandments were fulfilled, and nevertheless the child died immediately after performing these two commandments. Rav Yaakov explains in the Gemara that when Torah says that one will live a long life, it is speaking about the true long life, not the life here in this physical world. It is speaking about the long life, the area of eternal life, the life of the world to come. That when one will live a long life, it refers to a person's life in Olam Haba, in the spiritual life, which lasts forever. Upon the performance of these commandments, a person will have a greater reward in the world to come, and his life there will be in a more beautiful and more eternal and stronger fashion than it otherwise would have been. The person might not live such a long life here in this physical world, says Rav Yaakov, that the Talmud is not referring to that. It is speaking to the ultimate and eternal life, the life of the world to come. And the Talmud concludes that if Acher had heard this explanation of Rav Yaakov, he would not have become a heretic. That Acher was the teacher of the famous Rav Meir, who was one of the four that entered the Paradis, one of the four great Talmudic scholars who entered into the secrets of the Torah. Acher, it says in the Gemara, was called Acher because he became a heretic. He went away from the Torah. And had Acher heard this explanation of Rav Yaakov, he would not have gone away from the Torah. Because Acher evidently took this passage literally. That there is literal, here in this physical world, there is a literal reward of a long life, longevity, and health here in this world. How could it be then, thought Acher, that a child could fulfill these commandments and nevertheless live such a short life and be immediately punished? However, Rav Yaakov explains that the reward is in the world to come. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva explains that how can we therefore explain all of the promises in the Torah that there will also be reward here in this world? And as we say every day in our prayers, that the fruits of the rewards of our labors for certain mitzvahs is here in this world. How can we relegate the reward from the mitzvahs exclusively to the world to come? The Rambam explains in the Law of Tshuva that we say that the reward is in the world to come is the true reward for the mitzvah. This does not mean to say that there will be no physical reward here on this earth. It is only to say that the reward here on this earth is completely insignificant in comparison with the reward in the world to come. That this is only a temporary reward, a physical reward, a limited reward. The reward in Olam Haba in the world to come is permanent. It is of everlasting value. And therefore it completely overweighs and overshadows any physical reward there could be. In fact, says the Rambam, what is the significance of the physical reward? That when one has physical rewards here in this world, such as health and wealth, then one is able to perform the commandments and study Torah in a more intense fashion. If one has his health, he can learn more Torah and has more of an opportunity to do mitzvah. If he has money, he is able to give more tzedakah and fulfill more of the commandments of the Torah. By fulfilling more of the commandments and through learning more Torah, a person then gets the true reward, since he has been given the physical reward of health and wealth and children, and he is able to serve God in a joyous manner. This will allow him to perform more mitzvahs and more Torah, and thereby merit the true ultimate reward, the reward in the world to come. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.